Jesus, we want to meet with you this morning. We're so glad that in your idea, in your heart, in your plans, in the recesses of your heart, you planned for church to call out people out of the world, to come together, to fellowship, with you, to fellowship with one another, to hear your word, to worship together, to bring us into your body, a unified body, to bring us into a family, a unified family, to bring us unto yourself so we could have an intimate relationship with you and become your bride. I just am amazed at the awesomeness of your plans, your person, your ideas, as we yield, as we agree with what you do and what you want, how it just transcends, goes way beyond anything we live outside of your way, how it fulfills, satisfies, brings peace, joy, like oil in an engine, with relationships with others as we follow you and walk in your way. Today, Jesus, as we look more at the church, let us think about that. Let us meditate on it. Let us see it through your eyes. Let us lay down what we're holding on to. Ideas, concepts, attitudes, belief systems, teaching that's outside of you and your word, and let us be willing to conform to your word that we could walk in your perfect way and live with you perfectly moment by moment, even as Jesus did. Thank you for exampling what we could have, Jesus. Help us to walk into that more. You're awesome. Thank you for pursuing us. You're awesome. Amen. Wow. Feel like I just had church. Wow. You have the handouts on building a church. And anyway, there's two pages to it. Now, I want you to notice there's some verses. There's in that very first part under His Bride. It says the church is very important to God. It is His bride. The church is God's bride. Now, as I was looking at these verses this morning, John 3:29, the ones that are listed, Revelation 21:9, Romans 7:4. You can look at those. We're not going to go there today on these. You could go and look at those and meditate on those, think on those. But where I do want you to go first is Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 9. I don't have that. They're not in our notes there. So you need to add that. Revelation chapter 19, and we're going to start with verse 6. Are you there? Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God all-powerful reigneth, or omnipotent reigneth, all-powerful. Let us, I believe this is talking about a multitude in heaven. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to God. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted, or given, that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write down, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now, there's a whole lot here. I don't want to go through all of it. I want to stick to subject, but I want you to read something to you verse 7, where it says, let us be glad and rejoice. Let all in heaven rejoice, for all have an interest in the triumph of truth. All should be glad that the government of God is set up over an apostate or wayward world. And then the passage, it says, and give honor to him, because the work is glorious, and because it is by his power alone that it has been accomplished. See, what we see going on, what we can see coming, this the bad stuff in this world, God's going to end up making something good out of it. Okay? But we have a hard time seeing that. How's that going to happen? But in the end, God wins. And remember that, people. In the end, God wins. There's going to be things where it looks like we're losing. If you'll read in Revelation, it says there's going to be this great harvest. God's going to bring all these people in. God's power and is going to be released in the earth, his presence. But then it says it looks like the devil is raising up, and all that will not bow to him or to his image are going to be killed, and a lot of the believers are going to be killed. So a lot of the people on earth, because darkness is going to look like darkness is overtaking the earth. Okay? And you'll find in places where it says that the saints are under, it's like the stairs or the altar of God, and they're saying, how long, O Lord, before you straighten all this mess out? And he says, just wait. He's talking about the patience of the saints. So it's going to look like all light is going out, and then God is just going to step in with one word and undo everything. The enemy will be cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then, during that 1,000 years that Christ reigns, then after that, the devil's going to be loosed for a season. And all the people that were under the reign of Christ during that 1,000 years, but never got born again, they were just being ruled by a rod of iron, the Bible says, but they never turned to God. They're going to yoke up with the devil again for a second final assault against God and his people. And then God's going to say, everybody out of the pool. And then they're going to go eternally to hell and eternally be bound there. And then God's going to set up the new Jerusalem, the heavenly city. The bride of Christ will be married to him forever in an intimate 24/7 relationship with him, never to depart. But there's some hairy, heavy-duty, hairy stuff that's coming. And we think, because we're looking in the flesh, and you just remember, in the end, God wins. When it comes down to, are you going to serve the almighty dollar or the almighty? You say, what do you mean? What happens when all of a sudden you can't eat? You can't pay your gas bill. You can't get anything unless you take a mark in your hand or in your forehead. Are you going to trust God to take care of you? Or are you going to say, well, God, of course, understands. No, he's warned us for thousands of years. Do not take that mark. When that mark comes that you for you to buy or sell and you have to take a mark in your body, that is serving the almighty dollar. Do not do that. It's coming down to, are you going to, because what it really is do you trust God? When the millions of people under Moses left Egypt, how were they going to eat out in the desert? It's called a desert because it's a desert. There wasn't no food. There wasn't no 7-Elevens or whatever y'all call them. You know, what do y'all call them up here? Convenience stores. And God just spoke manna bread out of heaven, and every day they'd get up, and it would be all over the ground. They go pick it up, eat it. It would make them. It would fill them. It was supernatural. There's been times where we've prayed where we didn't have anything, and we prayed and we ate the little we had, and it sufficed us. Or we said, God, we don't know. One night we were laying in bed, we had nothing. We had given away everything we had to a family. I didn't know we were giving away everything. And my wife came and she brought, I had told her to go get it while I was talking to this guy. She came back with this box and it was only about this big. And it was only about half full. And I said, babe, you need to fill that up. She said, that's everything we have in the house. I'm like, it is. So I started trying to take some things out thinking, well, maybe we ought to keep the ketchup or something, you know what I mean? And it was like there wasn't enough to take out and feel good about giving. So we gave it all. And that was on a Sunday night after church, Sunday night church. Somebody we had met going door to door. A guy that I never could shake his hand right-handed because he was crippled. And I told him his hand was like all curled up. And we led him to the Lord. And I said, when one day I went to shake his hand, and I said, when we get to heaven, we'll shake right-handed. And he goes, yep. And on Monday, I went to go, like I always did on Monday, I drove 45 miles to go meet with this other church in their prayer breakfast. It would tell them what had happened during that week of people getting saved and how God was working in our church. And the preacher said, come with me back to our church building. And I said, oh, I don't have time today. I'm busy, blah, blah, blah. He said, no, come with me. I walked in his building, and I'm following him, and I look over to the left as we are passing a doorway into their kitchen area, you know, and where they had to eat, and the kitchen was on the other side of that. And there was this pile of food on the floor, boxes, all this stuff stacked up, just this huge pile right in the middle of the floor. And I was looking at it, and he kind of had a belly kind of like me, except for about four times as big, and nice big old belly. And I turned around, and I went, and I ran into a boom. And I said, what's that? I said, y'all expecting, you know, Jesus to come back, and you getting up some for the neighbors to have while we're gone? And he said, nope. He said, that's for you and your family. He said, the people in our church are excited about what y'all are doing, starting that church. And we've been praying for years for a church to get started in that town where you're starting it. And our people love you. And for months, they've been bringing that food in, and this is all for you. And it was so much food, I had a Ford Tempo. And it wasn't a Taurus. It was the one down. That was a Tempo, right? It was so much food, I couldn't get it in the car. So we got a van. We filled up this van. Now, meanwhile, back at the ranch where Sue was, that we had nothing, right? So she thought it was a good time to line the cupboards because there was nothing in them, you know? So she cleaned them all. She lined them, whatever she did. And I got back, and I walked in. I didn't tell her a van was following me full of food. And I said, I walked in, and she hands me a list of $100 of stuff. This is 1987. And she hands me a list of stuff for $100 and said, Harvey, this isn't even food. This is just salt, ketchup, pepper, you know, things like this. And I didn't tell her car was following me. I took her by the hand. I said, let's pray. So we got on our knees. And I said, oh, great God of heaven, we're asking you just to deliver food mightily, right, just right to our door. And we hear, because where we lived, there was not everybody had cars. Very few had cars. That was where we called the penny offering. Okay, most of our people walked to church. And Janai goes, she's a little girl. She's at the window. She goes, there's a car pulling up in front of our house. And it's pulling in our drive. It took three men 15 minutes or so to unload that van of all and put all that food in our house. When I was making over $1,000 a week working at GM right before we went there, Sue said, we had five kids at home. She said, We never had that much food one time when she added it all up. She said, we never had that much food one time in our house. What I'm saying is God could supply. One night we were laying in bed. I think I told y'all that one too. One night we're laying in bed, didn't have anything. Sue said, I need this and this and this and $20 for other stuff. Took her by the hand. God, we need this. I said, you just heard what she said. We need $20 too. Knock, knock, knock. It's 10 o'clock at night. Open the door. All of the things she just got through saying were in a plastic bag with a $20 bill hanging on our door. Everything she just got through saying we needed. What I'm saying is God, one of his names he wants to be known is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will supply. The Lord will supply. So, going back to the church. I ask you to look up verses on the church. There's 118 times the word church is in the Bible. New Testament. New Testament concept starts with Jesus. Oh, already gave you an answer. I want you to look up the word church this week. Like in a, what's that thing called? Strong Concordance. Or the concordance in the back of your Bible. Or if you have a cross-reference Bible that will have verses next to a verse. When you find a verse on church, then other verses that would correspond to that. Now, if you don't have a concordance, we have some here. Or you call me and I'll give you about 5 verses to start with, to jumpstart you. Matter of fact, you want one? I'll give you one right now. It's in your notes. Ephesians chapter 5. And you need to start with verse 22, not verse 23. It says 23 through 33, but it should say 22 through 33. And you will find the term church in there several times. Because God likens our marriage to a church. And what I would like you to do this week, besides looking up the word church, I mean, we are people who want to go forward with Jesus, right? We're not looking to get there over the next 100 years. We want to get there now, right? Okay. So I not only want you to look up the word church, but I want you to look up Ephesians chapter 5, in right there where it says it, verse 22 through 33, the very first reference. I want you to look that up, and I want you to take it phrase by phrase and ask, what does that mean? What is this saying? What is this teaching me about church and about marriage? What is this teaching me? How does this apply to my life? Or is it in my life? I'm going to give you just as an example. Let's look at the first two verses. 22 and 23. Ephesians 5. It says, wives. Who's he talking to? Wives. It's funny. Okay? Like in verse 25, he starts it off with, husbands. Guess who he's talking to? Okay, get a clue. I'm just trying to help you. So the very first 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. What does that mean? What does that mean? And then he goes on to say, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. I should say first three verses. As the church is subject or submitted unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. What is he teaching us here? And I just want you to write down ideas. What is he teaching us here? Because he's talking about the church, but he's also talking about marriage. Because in God's concept, the two are parallel. Okay? There's things that we need to learn, we need to understand about these. But instead of me just saying this, listing out, I want you to write down so we could discuss it next week. And when you get it from God, then you didn't get it from me. Now it's between you and God. When you get it, you own it. You know, you have a better chance of holding on to it. God's idea of church. Oh, let me give you one other passage if you want to look up church. Matthew chapter 18. I believe it's verse. Well, it's 13 through 17. And that's the whole, the passage you need to look at up. But he talks about church. First mention of church. Remember I told you there's a principle of first mention? Anytime something is first mentioned in the Bible, there's very importance that God puts on that when it's first mentioned. Okay? So Matthew 18. I'm sorry, I said 18. Matthew 16. 13 to 17. Okay? But it is in Matthew 15 also. Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17. It's in both. I just wasn't going to give you the other one. One of the things where we're going, I don't know if did I read this to you last week? We're going to answer these questions as we go through the study. What's the meaning of the word church? And what's the names of the church that God calls a church? Who's the founder? Who's the head of? What are the members called? What are the titles? What is the church built on? What are the positions, the governmental positions in a church? What is the purpose of a church? How is it supported? What's required to join a church? What do we learn from the first mention of the church? And how does a church function? Where does it meet? How does it run? What are the sacraments of it? Jesus, if you died for the church, then it must be important. And so we want to deem important what you deem important. We want to value what you value. Thank you for this time. We're asking that you would draw us closer to you, to each other. Help us to see and understand your word. Help us to take time, to set aside time to look up and read and allow you to show us things and to lay down what we our preconceived ideas, what we've been taught, what we think, our opinions, our feelings, so that we can pick up the truth that you want us to get. We love you. Thank you for this time. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.